Welcome back to another episode of the Dean Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to catch up on the current state of Ohio State athletics. My name is Ben Waite. I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Dean Smith. Dean, first and foremost, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ben. It was a great weekend for us, and just really, really excited about the upcoming week and hosting Oregon. And so proud of our women's volleyball team, our field hockey team, our women's soccer team. Our men's soccer team got a tie, but the others had wins. And so it was a big weekend for us this past weekend.
Absolutely. A lot of big wins across the board as we're recording this. Just after week one of the football season got going. How are you feeling about the fall schedule and everything going thus far?
Yeah, I feel good about it. You know, it's having the opportunity for a football team to go on the road and play in that environment against that veteran team, and in the rain with a new quarterback. I thought the team did exceptionally well. They adjusted to what they learned, and the second half was phenomenal. And really looking forward to this coming weekend. Our field hockey team played great, got two wins this weekend, and women's soccer on senior day had a great win against Navy. So just a good weekend. And our volleyball team's ranked number four in the country now as a result of them winning a tournament down at Texas Tech. So it's just a good weekend for us. And here we go.
Absolutely. Everything is up and running. So over the past 18 months or so, we've learned a lot about leadership, and it's taught us a lot about leadership. So today I thought we would discuss leadership styles and development here in college athletics. We're fortunate to be joined by a couple of your peers from across the country. But first, Gene, as our director of athletics, what style of leadership do you try and employ?
Well, you know, it's I learned a long time ago, Ben, that it's not really one style that any leader employs in order to be effective. There's multiple styles that they implement kind of seamlessly and in different measure depending upon the business situation. And that could go from, you know, being democratic to being coercive to being authoritative to coaching. And there's really like six styles that kind of at the top of the pyramid. But the most important thing beyond those styles is your emotional intelligence and how you are self-aware, you self-manage, and you manage the group dynamics around you. And so it's really a different leadership styles based upon the situation. Pace setting, sometimes you implement that. You know, I'll do that in fundraising sometimes when my fundraising team is at the back end of a project and we need to get it done. So as a leader, I'm driving hard and setting the pace. So it just depends.
And when you're building your staff, as you continue to do that here at Ohio State, what attributes are you looking for in potential leaders for Buckeyes?
Yeah, first and foremost, I'm looking for character. You know, interview people and trying to assess them, I'm looking at what are their values. I think a lot of times when someone comes in my office for an interview, they're shocked that I ask them what their top four values in life are. And sometimes I'll give them a chance and give me their number five if they don't hit at least a couple of my important ones. But I'm looking for integrity. I'm looking for honesty. I'm looking for respect. I'm looking to try and understand who is that person and what are they all about? Because people are the heart and soul of all that matters. And while you may be technically sound in what you do, if you can't relate to people, respect people, or if I can't trust you ultimately, or my teammates can't trust you, all those type of things, then you don't fit. And fit is critical for us. And we have a great culture because of fit. And so I think it's important that we always keep that at the top of the pyramid.
Today, we have a couple of people that sat through that character test, but they certainly didn't need the mulligan for number five. Yeah. Our first guest today previously spent 8 years with the Scarlet and Gray before leaving to become the youngest ever Power Five AD. He now serves as the Alice and Nahum Lehner Family Director of Athletics at UCLA. We're happy to be joined by Mr. Martin Jarman. Martin, thanks for being here.
Ben, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Living the dream. Living the dream. Every day here in Columbus is better and better.
Yeah.
So, Martin, talking about leadership styles, and when you think about yours and how it's changed over the years, how would you describe the way that you guide your department these days?
Oh, well, you know, I think we're all a product of our experiences. And so, you know, what I've tried to do is take a little bit along my journey and learn and soak it up from everywhere I've been. The approach that I try to do is be humanistic. You know, at the end of the day, you have to meet people where they are. You're only as strong as the humans and the people that your teammates that you work with. And so I try to have a humanistic approach, try to understand where people are, understand their challenges, and what can I do to make it easier for others. That's how I kind of operate. And if our leadership in our organization has a service oriented approach, how do we help our teammates do their jobs better? How do we meet people where they are? I think we're going to be successful. And so I try to lead with my heart and my gut, trust my gut. And, you know, you can't do it by yourself. You're always doing it with the help of others. And so that's kind of the approach. It's got to be a team-centric approach to what we do. And that's how we lead here at UCLA.
Beyond that humanistic quality, what are you looking for as you build a staff in folks that you want to lead your department?
A couple things. The first thing I look for is integrity. You know, I have to be able to sleep at night that you're not going to put the institution or our athletic program in jeopardy or in harm's way. So you got to do things the right way and be above board. The next one is hunger. You know, I hire for hunger. I want someone that is really thirsty for the opportunity to develop, to lead, to inspire, that it matters. You know, hunger is really important because depending on where people are, what they have going on, that's not always apparent. But when someone is hungry, they figure things out and they're usually successful. Then the other one is passion. You know, what we do is hard. And so you've got to have a level of love and passion and grit to do it at a high level. And that's the expectation that our students that we serve, you know, they come here to be champions. They come here to be great, to be elite. We talk about elite here at UCLA, energy, leadership, integrity, toughness, excellence, elite. And that's a mindset. That's not wins or losses. That's how we go about our business every day. And so you got to have that energy and that passion, because if you don't, it's going to be hard. You know, what we do is hard. And so you got to have something that sustains you and keeps you going in those moments when things are difficult. So integrity, hunger, passion, and energy, you know, you got to have it because what we do is not easy.
Dean Martin's come a long way since he first sat down over at St. John Arena. what did you see in him as a young associate AD for development that you believed would make him an athletic director one day?
Well, I think he kind of talked about that a little bit. His interpersonal skills were outstanding when we first got to know one another. And I could tell that he had those skills that would transfer well into a leadership position. It's like he said, you know, as you're leading people, you're not developing widgets. And so you have to have the ability to relate to people, motivate people based upon what you learn about those people. And as he shared, you have to go to where they are. And that's the same thing with student athletes. You have to go to where today's student athletes are. So he had a unique interpersonal skills set that I thought provided him a great opportunity. And then, you know, over time, his technical skills grew just in, you know, budget management and, you know, operations. He learned a lot at Michigan State, obviously, but most importantly, you know, he understands people, and that's what we do. I mean, you know, you heard him. That's what it's all about. It's people.
Gene, there was one point when I was starting my career that you had four future athletic directors on your staff. How do you delegate leadership roles when you're in a situation like that and to make sure that people are acquiring the skills to lead at the next level?
Yeah, I think what was important at that particular time, Ben, was trying to make sure I understood what their individual goals were and then try and encourage them to work together as a unit to help each other grow. And so I watched as they interacted and watched how they helped each other, and which ultimately helped the department, helped our student athletes, coaches, and staff in the different units, because they all were hungry, just like Martin shared, and they were passionate about what they were doing and passionate about trying to have a chance to reach their dream of becoming an athletic director. So what was important to me was they had their individual responsibilities that they were held accountable for, but was watching them work together, but also them being open to having feedback, not just from me, but from each other. That was the group dynamics of that, that group was phenomenal because they were all talented in different ways, totally different. But they were sharing, which was a beautiful thing to watch.
Martin, at one point,
actually, we had a group right underneath them that were aspiring, and they were providing leadership for that group who also aspired to be athletic directors. And so they did a great job of helping develop the team deeper in the organization.
Is that pipeline of development, is that something that you tried to build into the culture here at Ohio State?
Yeah. You know, years ago, when I was blessed to become an athletic director, I wanted to, instead of coming into a place and bringing my own team with me, I wanted to take the hard time to try and assess the environment that I was in, assess the talent and skill that I was inheriting, and try and create an organization with that talent. And then over time, as people chase their dreams, try and promote from within. And we've done a lot of that. And Martin's an example of that. And so when you promote from within, the other teammates that are in the organization see that that's an opportunity, a potential opportunity for them down the road, is to develop, grow, be hungry, do everything you got to do. Then you might have your chance here at The Ohio State University, and then you can move on from there.
Martin, when did you know that you wanted to be an athletic director, and what drove you to seek a position in the chair?
You know, I didn't know Ben until probably my second year at Ohio State. You know, my time, I was at Michigan State for a number of years, and I just kind of wanted to keep growing and keep learning. You know, that's kind of where I was in my career. And then when I got to Ohio State, you know, working with Gene, that was the first time I had seen someone that has an impact as large as he had, not just on the organization, but on the student athletes. I would see how he interacted with students and how he led. And that was new for me. I just hadn't seen someone that kind of looked like me that had that kind of impact. And so after a while, you know, my first 2 or 3 years, I never talked to Gene about what my goals were. I just wanted to show him I'm going to work hard in development. I'm going to do my job. I never met with him to talk about becoming AD because, one, I didn't know if I wanted to, but two, I just wanted to do a good job, you know. And I think my second or third year, that's when I started seeing like, man, he's got impact. I want to have impact. You know, I want to make a difference. I was a student athlete. I loved my experience. I want to affect young people and help them reach their goals. And so I think it was probably my second year at Ohio State where I started really thinking about, man, maybe I could become an athletic director because I saw Gene and the impact that he had.
As you were seeking a position as an AD, what was something that you learned from Gene that stuck in your mind throughout those interviewing processes?
Oh my gosh. We don't have enough time, Ben. I mean, I've learned so much from Gene, and I'm not just saying this, but he's impacted so many people in this profession. You know, I can give you two examples. You know, one is Gene has always been incredibly comfortable in his own skin. You know, Gene is one of the first leaders I saw that was so authentic. He'll walk into a room where everybody's dressed up, and he'll have a Tommy Bahama shirt on and flip-flops and not care at all. But I would look at that because I was in a place where I was young to be doing what I'm doing. I'm always trying to be something else. What do they want me to be? I'm going to try to be that. That's kind of how I was. And watching Gene, he taught me that, like, you got to be comfortable in your own skin because that's when you're your best. That's when you're your most authentic. And you know what, if you're trying to be something you're not, you're gonna get tired. You're not gonna be able to do the job. So I always admired how he was comfortable with who he is. And that takes a long time for people to get professionally and personally, quite frankly. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is being candid. You know, Gene is very, you know, he's straight up, you know, he'll tell you the good and the bad. And he does it because he cares about what you have expressed or told him as far as what your goals are or what it is. And so I took that into interview processes. You know, a lot of times when you interview for a job, you try to tell people what they want to hear. We want to get into this conference. We want to be this. And if you're coming from Ohio State, you know, they have that in their mind that we want to have the same success that the Ohio State has. And what I would do is, you know, Gene would be like, you got to be honest. You got to be straight up, you know, tell them like, look, you're not going to, this is not what it is. This is what I think we can be. I've got to learn more, but this is the reality. And I go back to, you know, I had a lot of no's as far as AD interviews. You know, I had, I believe it was eight. I think it was nine no's. You know, I got my head smashed. I heard no nine times. Gene was with me for all of them, you know, and you start doubting yourself and thinking, you know, man, I'm not any good. And I can remember the one I did get, Boston College. You know, I went in there and I just told them who I was. And I told them, you know, this is what I think. And it was my most candid, honest, authentic interview. And that's the one I got, you know. So I would tell you just being comfortable with who you are, your style. I'm not Gene Smith. You know, I'm Martin Jarman. I've got to be me. And that's how I'm going to be as effective as I am. And I've got to be candid with people, especially coaches, and having hard conversations. You know, you just got to do it. It's a difficult thing. But one thing I learned from Gene is whenever you're having difficult conversations, it's always harder for the person receiving it. And if you think about the person, not yourself, take the ego, take the self out. Think about the person that's having to hear this. It's harder for them than it is for you. That makes it a little easier to do, you know, and it's something difficult you have to do, but not something that you can't do. You can do it. And so I learned that from Gene.
You mentioned BC, UCLA being your second stop now as an AD. Martin, what's something that you didn't know when you left Ohio State that you learned along the way and have tried to implement here at UCLA?
Wow. You know, I think when you're at Ohio State, the resources are immense and the talent around you is immense, you know? So, you know, Ben, I was fortunate enough to work with you in development. You know, everybody's talented at Ohio State. And you go into, when you leave Ohio State, you think that everybody understands excellence and what it looks like and how it feels and how it is. And what you realize is a lot of organizations have blind spots. We all do, but they have real ones. And so one of the things I had to learn, and actually I remember Gene telling me this, one of the first conversations I had a few months in at BC, he was like, Martin, you got to get in the weeds. And at Ohio State, I had gotten to a point where I wasn't in the weeds. I didn't know the details. I didn't go to the stadium 4 hours before and see how the crew was working. What are their challenges this morning? I didn't take my tea after my run and go and check on the facilities crew or marketing to see kind of what we're thinking, how you're feeling. You got to get into it, you know, and so much so now, you know, we just had a big game. One of the biggest games we've had in the Rose Bowl. We played LSU this past weekend. And, you know, during the game on third down, I'm on the phone, get the bells going, get the bells. Let's go. Let's go. Like I'm in it, like in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, because we missed the third and two where we didn't play the bells. And I got on our marketing staff. I'm not sitting in the suite hanging out. I'm saying play them bells on third down, because we got to do everything we can to win this game to help those guys win.
We got to get to, you know, a fourth.
Yeah, man. And in the fourth quarter, I'm saying what the music after we just got to stop. Go to Jumpman and do this. I'm literally doing that. And I learned you got to get in the weeds, and that's how you start that culture and establish this is who we are. This is what we're going to be about. And that's a real example. I mean, that just happened. That's what my third and fourth quarter was, is hitting everything exactly right, to where now everybody, we gave all our fans a remarkable experience, a moment, and you know, we were good. So that was a long answer. Sorry about that, Ben.
That's okay. Great. That's beautiful. That's fantastic.
That's it right, Gene, there.
You obviously shared a lot with Martin when he was young in his career. Gene, what's something you wish you could go back and tell young Gene Smith at Eastern Michigan in 1987?
Oh my God. You know, Mark told this because he's heard it, but others, some people know. You know, I wasn't as humanistic as I needed to be. And that's why that's something that I've tried to carry forward now. I came from the private sector. I was a hard charger and, you know, I was working every day and burning both ends of the candle. And I wasn't as humanistic as I should have been. And I facilitated some transitions. I moved some people on, and I'll never forget the first person I had to terminate. He was 61 and I was 29. And our basketball coach, and I didn't do it the way it should have been done. And I should have done it more humanistically. I was just a matter of fact, I was cold blooded. I was, it was insensitive. And so, you know, I should have done it with more humility, with more sensitivity. And I learned that. I learned that over time. But if I could go back, that's the one thing, and that's those type of things when I was just trying to turn things around, I would have been a lot more sensitive to my environment and the people in my environment, because I was hard. I was rough, and I learned how not to be that way.
I'm very grateful that you learned not to be that way. So, fantastic working with you now. This question will be for both of you guys, but Gene, we'll start with you. Not everybody on your staff aspires to be an athletic director someday. So how do you work to develop them in their careers?
Yeah, I think it's, one, in our performance management plan, and we don't always do this as well as we should, but we do it pretty doggone good, where our managers are having conversations with their teammates and they're trying to assess in that conversation, what do they want to be? And so I get that feedback a number of times from people. And I know we have a number of lifers who, bottom line, said they don't want to leave Ohio State, and that's fine. They don't want to leave our athletic department. So how do we make sure that they're the best that they can be? And that's to make sure that we have programs in the department that they might want to get involved in, to continue to learn, to continue to grow, and be the best that they can be where they are. Now, they may get a promotion in a certain area, but they're intent on being here. So I try my best to create an environment where our supervisors work that way. And then there's some people who think they want to be ADs, and so we spend time with them and try and help them develop. Or actually, we have some people who are looking to go in the private sector. We have a couple of staff members whose intent, we just lost one, Mark Quisenberry out of Video Services, who ultimately.
Quiz.
Yeah. How about Q left us, Martin? Q,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he went to the private sector. He's going to be a project manager in construction.
Oh, wow.
So when you think about it, his interpersonal skills have grown over the years. When we took him out of football and put him in the other Olympic sports,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was a game changer for him. And he
opened things up for him.
Opened things up. He, you know, he's a talker anyway. As he well, we're not telling a secret. But his interpersonal skills are phenomenal. So he'll be a great project manager. All he has to learn is construction, and which he'll do. But he'll be great working with all those different subcontractors and others because of his interpersonal skills. But he aspired to go into the private sector at some point. And so, bottom line, Ben is trying to figure those things out, and then helping them get to where they want to be.
Absolutely. Martin, what about at UCLA?
Yeah, it's all about understanding what people's goals are and understanding that, you know, when you have a diverse workplace, you're going to have a diverse set of goals and how long you want to be or what you want to be. And so I think you've always got to push people out of their comfort zone to help the organization, but also to help them stay engaged and energized and refreshed. And so sometimes that means changing some responsibilities. Sometimes that means serving on a committee within the athletic department that's in a total different area. Because again, you're trying to keep them fresh and energized if they do want to be here for life for a long time. And how do they contribute to the organization? But also, how does the organization contribute to them and help them feel that sense of fulfillment and joy and passion? Because, you know, again, we talk about energy and passion here. How do we keep that going to where they can be their best self? So we do a lot of coaching sessions. Matter of fact, we got a bye week this week. I'm doing 4 coaching sessions today, you know, and we have 30 minute quick. This is how am I doing? What do you need from me? What do I need from you? And what are your goals and how are we tracking on that? So you just got to make sure you communicate consistently and often so people understand that there's an avenue and a path to communicate where they are and what they need.
There's another question for both of you. But besides each other, when you have leadership questions or you're going through an issue, who's someone that you reach out to talk through that?
Yeah, for me, it's, I'm blessed to have a wife who was in this business. She was in intercollegiate athletics and she has her PhD in leadership. So so she understands my space and I go to her a lot. But also I have different stakeholders in the athletic department who are CEOs of different companies. And I will literally have those conversations with them sometimes in person, or I may call somebody and say, hey, I'm dealing with this particular issue. What do you think? And, you know, Bob Walter, who created Cardinal Health, a great friend of mine. And, during the pandemic, talking about bringing staff back to work or not back to work and getting his feedback and just different people over time. Rob Savage, who was chairman of Yum Brands. I mean, it's just a lot of people that I reach out to and get feedback from. Now, there's, of course, my colleagues in the business, Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma, who's a good friend, and we came up in the business together, and he's someone that I reach out to because he understands the space we're in, and so it just depends on the business situation.
Martin, what about you?
You got to repeat the question. I've got like 2% left on my laptop, so I had
this is probably the last question.
Besides Gene, who's somebody that you reach out to talk through issues or problems that you're dealing with?
Oh, that is a great question. It's, a lot of times it's Gene, but if it's not Gene, it's a few people that I have picked up and developed friendships over the years with different places that I've been. A couple of them are supporters of different organizations that I've been at. Since we're on this podcast, I'll mention one, Keith Wandell. He's someone that's a former CEO, Harley Davidson, has always been a straight shooter and really been a sounding board for me. So he's someone that I a lot of major decisions that I've had, I've talked to Keith and gotten feedback from him. So he's someone. And then, just over the years, there are coaches sometimes that I talk to, but I would say it's a lot of different people depending on the situations. I'm very situational as far as what I'm kind of looking at or dealing with or trying to understand. I'll since we're on this podcast, I'll mention Keith. He's been there for me.
It's one of the best. Mark, we appreciate you taking some time after a huge win for your program and your football program. Understandably, you guys need to recharge in every conceivable sense. Thanks for taking some time to be with us today. And we hope to catch up with you again soon.
Take care, Martin. Best of the family, man.
Thank you. Everybody says hello. And Ben, good to see you, man. I remember where you are right now. That must be the 8th floor, man.
Yes, sir.
That looks very familiar, man. It's good to see you guys.
Good luck. Absolutely appreciate it.
See ya.
We'll be right back with more of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. Welcome back to the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. Our next guest previously spent 15 years here at Ohio State and now serves as the Director of Athletics at Washington State University. We're very happy to be joined by Pat Chun. Pat, thank you so much for joining us today.
Ben, always great to see you. And Gene, as always, I feel like I see you more now, which is good for me.
We have been on a lot of calls together.
Yeah. More now than ever. But Pat, today we're discussing leadership styles and leadership development here in the college athletic space. And so when you're thinking about your leadership style as an athletic director and how you've employed at Washington State, how would you describe that?
Well, it's still growing and learning like everybody, but I guess at its core, and these are really basic Gene Smith tenets at the end of the day, it's all about people. And especially in today's day and age with us coming out of COVID, we're no different than what you guys are going through and what everyone else is going through. It's really, really focused on trying to go to people, try to meet them where they're at, You know, a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of views have changed over the last 18 months. And just trying to be, I mean, you both know me well. I mean, I recognize I'm one of those people that have to wake up every day and remind myself I have to be more empathetic. I'm one of those people that have to remind myself that, you know, I got to choose to lead and understand that, you know, in these roles, leading from the front, especially in times of transition and times of unknown, are probably more important than ever. And probably the second biggest tenet, and you learned this watching Gene firsthand, is, you know, the goal and why we're always evolving is as versatile as you can be allows you to impact more people. And that's the key to the versatility piece. If you're one, two, even three dimensional, that's only one, two, three types of people that you can impact. But we're trying to build our athletic program no different than the athletic programs Gene has built over the last few decades. Is we want diversity here and that goes in many different directions. And to be the best you can be as an athletic department, you got to be diverse. And to be the best leader you can be, you got to be able to lead a diverse group of people. And that's where that versatility piece comes into play.
When you're looking to build a staff or bring people on board at Washington State, what traits are you looking for in potential leaders, more specifically with coaches when you're looking to bring them in?
Well, we want servants. We want people that want to, you know, I think that's probably the most, I mean, obviously they got to have the requisite skill set, but we want people that understand their roles as leaders, how they have to serve our student athletes, our athletic department, our campus, our faculty. Like, it's just so layered. And we all know coaching is such a hard job these days because of the amount of scrutiny, pressure, and the reality of you have to build, motivate, manage, you know, a bunch of young people and try to get them the best you can be. But I would say the most important thing to us is, you know, I guess there's a whole, when you think about what we look for in coaches or staff, fit matters. And for us at Washington State, I pride myself by telling one, you know, our alumni base here, and Gene's been here plenty of times, we're probably the most Big Ten SEC like in the Pac-12 with the fervor of our fan base. So we got people that care, and a little bit different than most is our alums, our Cougs will stick with us through thick and thin. They're roller coasters in college athletics, and they'll go up with us when the roller coaster is at its peak, and they'll stay with us when we take some dips. So with that, I mean, that demands a certain type of fit with a person here that is willing to understand that these jobs are bigger than probably most because of, you know, this is one, unfortunately for me, this is one of those places that, yeah, winning is expected, but how you win is what people judge you on here. And those are kind of the best places to be at when you're an athletic director.
Not everybody is trying to please the people, the only people that are going to every college game day site and flying yes. their flag.
Exactly. That's a great, great example of how loyal Washington State Cougs are. That's a great microcosm of who we are.
Gene, you mentioned previously the importance of hiring within in building leaders in an athletic department. What did you see in a young Pat Chung that you knew you wanted to foster for a future leader?
You know, Pat was always enjoyable to be around. You know, Pat has that perfect combination of a high IQ and high EQ. He's extremely smart from a technical point of view, but his personal skills are phenomenal. His ability to work with people from all walks of life and appreciate those people. And his values align with mine from the very beginning. And so it was easy to see how he could move into a leadership position. He was already in one when I had the opportunity to come here, but to see him move through the organization and ultimately touch so many different people in so many different areas was important to me. And so he did it excellently. And, he did an unbelievable job at FAU, a challenging environment. And that's why he's at Washington State now, a Power Five institution with passion and support. So he's really talented in that space.
He was also overseeing development here at Ohio State when I was hired. So he has a great eye for talent. Pat, when you think back to your early days in college athletics and how you've grown as a leader, what advice would you give to young people in our industry that want to grow into more leadership roles?
Well, I think Gene's a great example, and I think you've had other people on the podcast, is you're fortunate to find great mentors if they're out there. And I remember we're at some NACTA, Gene probably doesn't even know this, we're at some NACTA, and Gene always makes time for me, Martin, Heather, I mean, whoever it is, And we know how busy he is, but he'll also make time for us. And me and you are sitting in some lobby, and I'm probably running 10 things by you about things I'm going through, challenges I have. And one of my current AD friends, actually, he's AD at Nevada now, Doug Duth, we're both senior associates at the time. And he's like, that's a pretty cool scene watching Gene talk to you in the lobby. I was like, oh, how so? He's like, you know, not every boss does that for their senior associate. I was like, I guess I never really thought about it. I guess I've grown in this environment with Gene that there's so much care and investment and accountability. I think people recognize, you know, it's like even, I would say this, you learn more. It's, you know, we got three senior administrators here that want to be ADs, and one, you know, grew up at Gene shop as well with you, Ben, Mitch Straub. And it's, I think it is not easy working for the best AD in the country, because you have a lot of personal accountability you put into it, but also you understand what's at stake and how important it is. And, you know, the accountability piece, I think people, you know, in Gene's cool veneer, you lose sight of the fact that, hey, there's a lot of accountability when you work for Gene, because he put so much pride in, heck, you know, I mean, I know nothing's changed. Him and Sheila, when I was there, I mean, if they worked 6 days a week, that was, wow, you guys took a day off this week, congratulations. You know, it was that type of environment when I got there. And so that set the tone for everything. But you knew the investment they put in there, and you're fortunate to learn and hear and watch and study someone who, is obviously the best at his craft. So I think that, to me, for young people, is you got to go find those people. But then the other thing, and Gene knows this, I mean, there is no one that has harder conversations with me than the two people that have the hardest conversations with me on this planet. My wife, Natalie, and Gene Smith. If I need the truth, Gene will tell me. And he knows exactly. He can feel the pain in my voice when he tells it, but he don't care, because he wants what's best. Well, I would say this, he wants what's best for my family, more important than what he wants best for me. And man, if you could find that type of person in your life, I mean, that to me is worth its weight in gold. I recognize that I'm blessed, and that doesn't exist everywhere, but there are truth tellers, and a lot of people, and Gene knows this. There, you can have truth tellers in your life, but more than most will run from them because they don't want the truth. I'm fortunate to have Gene, and also fortunate that, hey, he knows what he's talking about. And, when you're right that many times, you know, you got to keep listening to the guy that's been right that many times.
Absolutely. Gene, you guys kind of alluded to this, but, the landscape of our space has changed insurmountably over the last 6 months, a year, 2 years. How do you think our leaders are going to have to continue to evolve as the college athletic space continues to evolve as well?
Yeah, I think Pat said it excellently at the beginning. You're always learning. You have to embrace every situation, understanding that you have to be wide open, you have to be curious, and you have to be thoughtful and patient and learn with it and make decisions based upon what you learn. Don't react. Don't try and project. In the NIL space is, no one could project what our ecosystem was going to be and what it will be. So we're all learning as it's being implemented. And there'll be modifications and tweaks over time, or maybe even federal legislation that might cause us to backpedal. But we're learning, we're embracing it. Expansion is not new. Oklahoma and Texas going into the SEC is not new. It's that's happened for years. So let's listen. Let's pay attention to the issues. Let's figure out what's the best strategy to move forward. And that's how the alliance emerged. And so, to me, being curious, and then also I would say the other thing is having partnerships and colleagues that you're comfortable talking to and being candid with about things. Just being honest. I got a call from one of my colleagues the other day asking us about a deal that he saw one of our student athletes did with NIL, and wanted to know, how did that happen? And I just explained it to him, told him the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And he hung with the phone and said, oh my God, that makes perfect sense to me. And so you just got to have some relationships where, you have people helping everybody, helping all of us get through it.
Pat, the Alliance is still very new. It's in its infancy, obviously, but How do you think those existing relationships between athletic directors is going to help during the collaborative next steps of this alliance?
I think they're huge because we all understand as practitioners what the impact, there are so many variables in how home games are scheduled and how 12 games map out and how it impacts your student athletes and where you're at with the maturation. I mean, having, and the nice thing is, and Gene knows this, it's, you know, you know, scheduling is so complex the way it is. This in itself may end up easing things up, but the reality is this is all these relationships, it allows us to talk. It allows us, I think the nice thing that's been happening, at least in these AD meetings we've been having along the Alliance, is the level of candid talk we've all been able to have. A lot of it is the leaders in the room, including Gene, are willing to speak their mind, which sets the tone for everybody in the room that, hey, if the alpha in the Big Ten room is speaking his mind and making sure that the level set is actually level set, that's a great place to be. But those relationships matter. And Gene knows there hasn't been a meeting we've had where I haven't called him before or after, just to make sure, just to see what his viewpoint is, because, you know, it's important for our league to make sure we're fully aligned with the Big Ten. And that's on the commissioner level, the deputy commissioner level, and the AD level.
Do you feel like any portion of that is then influencing your leadership and trickling down into your department specifically on a more granular level?
Well, I think there's always, I mean, Gene's, I mean, you've heard this over and over. He's all about collaboration and communication. Easier said than done when you don't have willing partners. So how we've always operated in this athletic department is you see the value of collaborating and communicating. I mean, we are an auxiliary of the institution. We make it a point to have relationships with faculty, with other VPs across campus. But it's cool. I mean, even like, you know, it's like being on this Constitution Committee, Dr. Jay, who ran student affairs at Ohio State for so long, it's nice. The only reason I know Dr. J is when she got to Ohio State, Gene's like, hey, we're going to have a relationship with student affairs for no other reason than that's what we do. So, and it's nice to have a friendly face, and it's nice to be able to message someone in a meeting, say, great to see you. You know, let's exchange phone numbers. Let's make sure we talk offline to make sure you and I stay on the same page, because we all have a big responsibility. But I think that it's just a philosophical approach that's just really embedded in your habits that, hey, if you're going to be effective, especially in college athletics, the spaces you have control over, you got to collaborate and you got to go communicate as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, Pat. You know, there's, you know, people take that for granted. You know, leadership is about relationships. And you know, and so making sure that you expand your scope of relationships is so critical. There's so many athletic departments across the country that are siloed and myopic in their own space, and they don't take advantage of the significant resources that exist across campuses, be it in engineering or be it in research or be it in the College of Business or be it in student life. And so making sure as a leader, you create an opportunity for all the people that you work with and you serve, have an opportunity to understand that. To get out of that silo and go across campus, you know, and you know, it's really cool to watch our coaches go to engineering and try and get techniques on teaching and try and get the newest technology on teaching. And so it's just, you have to take advantage of all your intellectual capacity that exists in your environment. And the only way you can do that, established relationships.
Yeah, I take pride. We announced on Tuesday that we have a vaccination requirement that we'll have in October in our stadium. You have to show proof of vaccination. That announcement went out like a lot of athletic departments. I made sure our cabinet knew about it in advance. But I get a call, you know, after hours yesterday from their VP of IT saying, hey, whatever I can do to help with that. I know you have infrastructure issues. We're here to help you. I mean, we're at a place being here, you know, 3.5 years now, where the other VPs have, obviously he's a friend, but he feels supported by athletics. And he's like, hey, we're here to help as well. And those are a benefit, because it allows me to go to our head of our facilities and game management and say, hey, if something to think about is, hey, we got willing partners in IT that are going to help us think through this problem.
Building off of that relationship on the university side of things, Gene, obviously you're the head of our department, but everybody reports to somebody. So how do you try to lead upwards or manage that relationship with President Johnson? And also, what sort of guidance or input do you like to get from our staff that is trying to lead up?
Yeah, you know, I try and just make sure first and foremost that I had to understand what her method, her preferred method of communication was when she first came here. And fortunately, she likes all forms of communication. She's a texter, she's an emailer, she's a phone caller, early morning riser, you know, so literally sometimes she'll call me in the middle of my workout. So as Pat knows, I'm an early riser too, working out. So, but you know, I need to understand what does she need first. And so then I try my best to not over communicate with her. I know who her teammates are around her. I know who I need to communicate with in her shop. My teammates know who to communicate with in her shop. So you don't inundate her. But I know the things that I need to make sure I get to her. And so you have to make those decisions. And relative to the teammates in my shop, which is you have formal platforms of communication, you know, all staff meetings, executive team meetings, all those type of things. You have your development meetings, Ben. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's the informal conversation that's more important than those formal platforms. You watch me lead all staff meetings. It's hard for me to start an all staff meeting. It's very hard. You know, we say at 9 o'clock, we're going to start, be there for an hour. And I, you know, I don't want to start it because that informal communication is so cool to hear in the room. And that's the same with my president. There's so many times where we're at an event and together and we'll talk about issues. And then I'll learn from her what I need to get from my teammates. And so it's my responsibility to teach my team what the president needs to know. This weekend, we got our first home game against Oregon. I introduced the entire cabinet to Erica Hull, who runs our events. And I wanted them to have her cell number and say, hey, here's who actually makes things happen here for Ohio State football on a game day. And if you need some help, call Erica. Now, what's that going to do for Erica? Significant.
Significant. Yeah. And it sends a message, if you call me on game day, I'm calling Erica.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
You're going to get your answer faster if you just,
call Erica.
Yeah.
So Erica's going to establish relationships with those president's cabinet members, going back to Pat's earlier conversation, where, you know, her game will be elevated. So anyway, there's a lot there. But, you know, I think that for a president, just being transparent as best you can.
Ben, it's that old adage, and Gene's a master of this, is you got to lead from your feet, not from your seat. You know, you got to, I mean, Gene, Gene moves around that department. He's at events. He's, you know, at least on. So now because of social media, all the interactions you see him having with student athletes, well, heck, he's been doing that for 30 years. You just see it more on social media now. So, and then leadership is it, depending on, you just got to be versatile enough to know how to lead and lead up. You know, it's important to figure out how to lead up with Gene. Because he is, you know, these roles, you don't really fully understand the scope of duties as an AD till you're in the chair. But I also knew back when I was working for Gene that in that sweet spot, if you want him clarity of thought, it's in the morning. If you can schedule it in right after the time, you at least got half that tea in before the day got busy, you'll really get clarity of thought. But that's a part of leading up is you want to put your boss in the best position to make answers because the day does evolve. I mean, there's, you know, it's, you know, the time it's morning here on the West Coast. Gene knows this. I don't know what the day is going to end up like. I have a schedule, but I don't know what the day is going to look like by 5 o'clock. But that leading up piece is critical because it's to the benefit to our, you know, to Washington State and to Ohio State that we both understand, hey, at the end of the day, our presidents have to feel comfortable enough with us to be able to have those types of informal communications. And I'm blessed with the same type of relationship as, you know, we'll, you know, my president will, you know, we'll go to his house and he'll actually say, hey, let's have a cold beverage and, you know, let's talk through a couple of things. And that's a nice place to be, especially with your boss.
Yeah, we're both lucky. We have two great bosses. Yeah. I know Pat's president and he's outstanding as mine is. So we're fortunate to have two good ones that understand our space
and yes.
our space. That's the other thing. And so it's really cool. So Pat, tell us a little bit about your balance. I mean, you have a family, three children. Talk a little bit about how you achieve and maintain balance.
Well, you know, it's an evolution. Actually, one of the best advices I ever got, and it's from, you know, one of the Ohio State major donors, Keith Wandell. When I took my first AD job, he had actually told me, he said that, this is going to be hard on your marriage. And Gene told me that too. So this is like the old heads in the room are telling this young guy at 36, 37, this is going to be hard on your marriage because you're going somewhere. You have people that want you to be successful. You have instant relationships. And oh, by the way, your wife's going to be stuck at home with the kids trying to figure out how to put them into school and get their lives going in a new environment. So you hear that and you're like, we're fine. Me and Natalie are good. then you don't understand the wear and tear and the stress and the strain of leadership. Those are real. And these are things that you only get better through trial and error. There isn't a war of attrition part in our industry that you got, like Gene said, you got to, you know, at the end of the day, you're still held accountable for moving organizations forward. And there, you know, for, you know, many try, but, you know, the reality is that these are hard endeavors that people take on. So achieving balance for me took a lot. I had to figure out how to be better. You know, I had to figure out how to be more present with my wife and kids. You know, that to me was probably the greatest lesson I had to learn when I was in Florida. Was you can't bring stress, you can't bring work home. You take, you know, you put all these stupid things in your head about, you know, if this fails, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? But at the end of the day, I mean, you gotta be. I mean, if it's an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, that's a piece of it. And making time for yourself, I mean, that was the hardest thing that I'm still struggling with, but I do a better job at is, you know, you gotta. At the end of the day, we owe it to our teams to be the best version of this ourselves. You guys know how I'm wired. Part of how I define me as a human being is the type of husband and father I am. So if I'm not being a great husband or father, then that is going to impact my self-esteem and how I view myself. So a lot of it is just more just trying to just understand, you know, how can I just better serve my family with all the pressures and all the time consumption of this job. And the nice thing too, Gene, you know, is, you know, when you're AD, you can actually, when you're building your own schedule, you can incorporate more things with your family. You know, it was, you know, like here's, you know, like, you know, we had all our three kids when we were in Columbus, but there are many times, and you know, it's funny. We'd go to games, and Sheila would take our oldest, who was probably two or three at the time. Now, one, Sheila probably just wanted to not have to deal with everybody that evening, but two, she also knew that, hey, as a dad, you know, it helps me help Gene. To be by his side when, and she knows how hard it is when you have kids around. Now the bad part is Sheila would next thing you know, you have cotton candy bars, Sprite all over the place, but she didn't care. That wasn't her problem, but those are great life lessons you have. And I tell everyone here, this is an athletic department. Kids are welcome. You're going to see kids in my office. We're not going to be the athletic department says, hey, we're family, but you can't have your family around. It's like, hey, things pop up. I actually don't care. I know Gene didn't care. Heck, I got pictures of my kids in Gene's office. So it's like when we say family, it's like, hey, we mean it. Things pop up. We don't, I mean, it really, you actually make our environment better when your kids come around.
So, you're forgetting Sheila's an experienced grandmother. So of course you're going to get candy and cotton candy. And so, you know, it's in her blood.
Yes, it is. It is.
It's crazy.
Pat, when you mentioned a couple of Smithisms that you've carried through in your career. When you were seeking a seat in the chair, was there one or a couple that stuck out that you pulled out in your interviews for athletic director positions?
Well, I mean, the reality is I've been profoundly shaped by Gene. I mean, to have someone not only take you under his wing, but teach you the business and really train you. I mean, it you know, these are things. You know, I'm very proud of the fact that that I learned from the best. I think it, Gene doesn't get enough credit from a national standpoint, a national sports standpoint, is when you talk about the diversity of the room. It's nice being on those Big Ten those alliance meetings because you see Diana Sabo on the Zoom, you see me on the Zoom. It's like, you know, we would not be in these seats if Gene wasn't here. I'm on council with Heather Like, and that's like me and Heather talk and text all the time. We wouldn't be in these seats without Gene. you know, and then obviously Martin's in my own league and we talk, I mean, we talk all the time, but the reality is to, you know, there's a lot of there, you know, the action is so powerful. And I think that's probably the greatest thing you learn from Gene is we can say all the things we want to say, but Gene personally made it a point to diversify the industry. You know, he saw talent in all of us that maybe, you know, we thought it was in ourselves, but he developed it, pushed us and put us in different positions. So I think when you're out there, I think you recognize that, hey, there's a lot of people that talk a big game when it comes to leadership and management and what you're going to do to the organization. But at the end of the day, results do matter. And those are all things. It is you get a PhD in from a deputy seat when you work for Gene. Now, the reality is once you jump off the plank, it's a whole different world. The nice thing is the professor is always available for a phone call, advice, insight, questions, and is always willing to help. So it's that, I mean, this is the nice thing. You when you go out there and you get your first AD job, the best thing with Gene, and I know we all probably take too much advantage of it, but he's always one phone call away that gives you just really, really sage advice. It's, you know, we're all at different places in our careers. Gene sees a problem, knows a result that it should be, and can work toward there. We're all still at that stage of our career where we're like, all right, that could be the result. So we got to kind of start managing there. It's nice to have someone that, hey, he's seen this problem maybe 10 times in his career, you know, or here, I've been in this thing long enough. This is the thing way we got to push this thing. It's just nice to have that type of wisdom and advice on your side with every decision you make.
Absolutely. Well, Pat, we appreciate your time so much. I know you've got 8,000 other things going on right now, but we hope to see a lot more of you now that we're Alliance partners. That might evolve as well. But I want to thank Martin and Pat for joining us today. Obviously, this is a really exciting time for athletic departments all across the country. So we'll continue to follow both of you very closely. But that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate everyone that has listened and subscribed thus far. Until next time, we'd like to wish you all well. Hope you're staying healthy and safe. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks, go Cougs.
Go Cougs.